Jeanette texted me this afternoon and said that they had a tremendous service. I think they're in revival meeting there at Penview. Said they had a tremendous service this morning. And she said something, you know, Jeanette's normally pretty quiet. She said something about wanting to shout. And I asked her why she didn't. I said, we had a good service too, people in the aisles. There was some running. There was a lot of noise. I said, after the dismissal prayer, everybody got into the aisles and left. I don't know what that service was like, because everybody, even the people that are there, have a different perspective on a service. But I remember times, and I'm sure that you have memories too, of God coming in a way that is indescribable. Really, it's incomprehensible. The power or the feeling that you can have when God moves on the scene. Whether you sit in the pew or you get up out of your seat in expression, it's a wonderful thing to feel God's power in His presence. I went through a period of my life where people were overwhelmed with God's presence. And to look at people, you would think that it was a magnificent service. But I absolutely had no feeling whatsoever. I just didn't feel anything. If God was there, and they said that He was, if God was there, I personally didn't know it. And one service is standing out in particular in my mind, just a teenager, already at Bible school. But I tell you, as God came on that service, on that scene, I was empty and dry. Parched. Not able to feel, not able to sense. I think that's a horrible position to be in, because when God comes on the scene, I want to be a part of it. I want to feel what's going on. I want to feel the passion involved. I want to feel the emotion involved. I want to feel the joy, the peace. I want to feel everything that's involved with when God really moves on the scene. You know, I thank God for His presence that we feel on a regular basis. So if you think that I'm saying that we don't have God's presence, I'm not. I just, when I say something about God moving, I want to see the times again where God comes and you can almost see waves across the congregation. The power of God moving in conviction or in strengthening or encouragement. You see, when I pray for revival, or when I've been praying for revival, I've been praying for different facets. That the believer be sanctified, the unsaved be saved, the discouraged encouraged, the weak strengthened. You know, those things, I've said them before. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm just not going to be satisfied with something that just comes and goes. And when the last service is over, the lights are turned off Sunday night, that we just go back home and think, well, it's been good. We've heard some good singing. We've heard some good preaching. We've had some good fellowship. I'm not satisfied with that. The scripture has a lot to say really about our part or our role in the presence of God or the moving of God. James chapter 5 verse 16. There's a number of sermons, messages that we could look at out of this one verse. Confess your faults one to another. There's one message. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. That's another message. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If that's not three messages, then it's a pretty lengthy three-point message. So let me look at that part of it tonight. Only it won't be lengthy. At least not in the sense of three-point outline based on that. But the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me ask you a question before I really get started into what I want to look at this evening. You don't have to raise your hand. I just want you to think about it. How many of you tonight, how many of us tonight would consider ourselves personally saints? Your definition of saint has somebody pictured beside it. How many of us would tonight consider ourselves saints? Could we rephrase that last portion of the verse there? The effectual fervent prayer of a saint availeth much. Does it change the meaning of that verse, even in an iota, in any small way? No, it doesn't. Because anybody who is walking in all the light, somebody who has been saved and they are walking in the light, they are a saint, a righteous person. Now, I know it's another subject altogether. How far, how much light, how long does it take once a person rejects light or grapples with light before they become considered an unsaint or a non-saved person? I know that's a whole other realm. But just think about it tonight. If you're walking in all the light that God has shed on your path, you are completely obedient to Him. Does not this verse pertain to you, to me? The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is prayer then? Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. His watchword at the gates of death, he enters heaven by prayer. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the breath of God and man, returning whence it came. Love is the sacred fire within, and prayer the rising flame. Maybe that doesn't define it well enough for you. Let me read another one. It gives the burdened spirit ease and soothes the troubled breast, yields comfort to the mourner's ear, to the weary rest. You could probably pick out certain portions of all of these little stanzas of a poem and say that's what prayer means to you. That's the portion that means the most to you. Maybe it's the part where it said about rest for the weary, strength for the weak. It's that motion of the hidden fire, the soul's sincere desire. All of these things. But you see, the scripture tells us that there is power in prayer. I don't know how many of you ever read the book by E.M. Bounds, on Power in Prayer. But it's an eye-opener. It's a challenging aspect of prayer. You see, prayer is not the thing that we pray before a meal. God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. That's not what He's talking about in prayer. Or now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. Yeah, those are prayers, but that's not prayer in the context that we would look at tonight. As a matter of fact, sometimes I wonder if the prayers that I pray are really praying. Because they can be just as repetitious as God is great, God is good, or God is good, God is great, however which direction you put those. You know, I have the same things over and over again, and just for the sake of duty, I'm going through a prayer list and going through the norm, or if you please, stuck in the rut. But when I'm in that position, just simply asking myself an honest question, am I really praying when I'm going through, am I really doing this kind of prayer, effectual prayer, when I'm just going through the motions? Some may say that it's good, it's still a prayer, and God still hears it, and I believe that. But it seems to me that there's another aspect to just going through the motions. It's the effectual, fervent part of prayer. When it takes me out of the rut, struggling against those things that would try to pull me back in, to fight in an effort to be fervent in prayer. There's power in prayer. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 says something about that all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing. That would indicate to me that there is some power in prayer. Whatsoever thing ye ask in prayer, believing. There is some power involved with prayer. Somebody said that that praying is for the weak. Well, thank God, for when I'm weak, I surely want to be able to pray. It's not a derogatory thing to me when somebody says that prayer is for the weak. But prayer is more than just for the weak. Prayer is for every one of us, and there's power when we really pray. Have you ever put it on your wall, those plaques that have been around for a long time? My grandmother had a number of them. Prayer changes things. I don't know how many of them my grandmother had on her wall. Plaster of Paris. Big time plaster of Paris. Paint them up and stick them. All the grandkids had to do one or two of them. So they were everywhere. Prayer changes things. Do we still believe it? Do we still believe that there's power in prayer to change things? Somebody said that when we knock at heaven, the heart of God flies open. Stay with me. You know, God's a lofty being. Sometimes He's way out there. When you pray, do you believe that prayer is a knock at heaven's door, and when you knock at heaven's door, the heart of God flies open? Do you believe it? Yeah, I do. Sometimes there's a necessity of increased self-denial to have an increase of power in prayer. Jesus tells us that in Matthew 17, verse 21. Speaking about a particular situation that doesn't really have a whole lot of bearing on every aspect of our life, but the truth or the principle that he's teaching there does. But by prayer and fasting. This goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. In other words, there was an intensity here that required something more than just the usual humdrum, repetitious prayer. And again, I'm not knocking your repetitious prayer or my repetitious prayer. Keep praying. But there are times that we're going to have to be pulled out of that rut. We're going to have to be removed from that rut or from that position or from the repetition of that prayer and the commonality of that prayer to begin to delve into some extra power that's going to be required to see things happen. I could probably stand here and give you a number of examples and illustrations of my memory, my childhood and upbringing, of the power that only came from the intensity of additional prayer. The fervency of prayer. I've heard people say about fasting that because of their diabetes or because of their blood sugar or because of this or that, they can't fast. And before anybody has an opportunity to say that to me, just let me say, don't fool yourself. And I'm not being hard on the person that's in that condition or that position, because I know that if I'm hard on that person, chances are I will be found in that position for no other reason than to give me compassion. So I'm not being hard. I'm just wanting to give us an idea that fasting doesn't necessarily mean laying aside the intake of nourishment. Because I will admit that there's some people that cannot fast a meal or a day of meals or a week of meals because of physical condition. It'll kill them. But there's ways for us to carry that burden of passion that I myself would attribute to fasting meals. Do we believe that prayer changes things? Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. I don't know who the writer was of that poem, but if there's any truth in that at all, and it seems to me like it would be justifiable, that there is truth in there, imagine whether you think and picture yourself beside the definition of saint or not. Remember that Satan does not want any one of us to be found on our knees. And knees, again, it's a figurative sense here. I know some people can't kneel because. But in their place of prayer, the enemy of our soul doesn't want to find you or find me there. And he will attack in any way possible to keep us from doing that, because he knows that his strength and his ability to move among people is limited when people pray. So that thought that the weakest saint on their knees or in their place of prayer causes the enemy of our soul to tremble kind of gives me an added boost. I've asked myself the question so many times because I've told people, I'll do my best to pray for you. I had two different pastors call me just this week and say, I want to share a request with you. And I'm thinking, oh my, here's another one on top. And then another one comes and calls. And my, oh my, it just keeps building up, you know, as if there's not enough to pray for around here. There's so many things to pray for. There's so many needs around us. And I get to the point sometime when I'm praying or when I'm thinking about prayer, are my prayers doing any good on the other end? You've asked that question too, haven't you? Does that other person that I'm praying for have any understanding at all that somebody is praying for them right now? That question only comes because with all of my heart I want God to answer these prayers. What is fasting then? What is this effectual prayer? Wrestling prayers can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. I think prayer changes things. I believe prayer changes things. Many times when a person talks about prayer, a common question that rises in many people's minds is, I don't know how to pray. You remember, don't you, as a child, seeing or hearing somebody pray, and you kind of want to snuggle up close to them and let some of that ability to pray to rub off on you. I've got some people in my mind that to this day, if I had opportunity, I want to hear them pray. My dad, my grandparents, Doyle Sharp, Jim Burris, Herman Decker. There's a host of people that I could go down through and name off. Have you ever heard Rob Hartman pray? Anybody know Rob Hartman? There's a few of you. Have you ever heard him pray? He prays the exact same way that he does when he's in communicating with you, talking with you. It's the exact same way. He's just plain and simple and talking to God like he's right there in front of him. It's unique. Can I say it? It's pretty neat. That's an old term. It's pretty cool. just to hear someone pray with that unique simplicity, man, it's just really nice. But then there's people that, it just seems like when they pray, heaven and earth come together and you can feel the power in the prayer. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11, the disciples were with Christ, and Christ was in a certain place. Well, I don't know what that certain place was, but it was in a certain place, and he was praying. Imagine what it would be like to hear Jesus pray. I don't think that we're capable. I don't think even the best person that you and I have ever met that we thought was a good prayer could come even a match to the prayers of Christ. I don't know how they could be different necessarily. It's just that when you think about Christ praying, you knew that he had contact with the Father, so they were powerful prayers. But they were in a certain place, and he was praying. And when he got done praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to do that. Teach us to do that. How is it that, what do we have to do? What do we have to say? How come we can't pray that way? And Jesus simply told him, when you pray, say, and you know it, don't you? Oh, we know it. We know it by heart. Is it all that profound? Edward's going through the Lord's Prayer at the nursing home, and he said sometimes it feels like he's kind of going over their heads, but still it's a tremendous subject to be looking at, and I think some of them are catching a hold of some of it, at least some of them. I'm as simple as they come over there, and I think still I'm going over their heads, so sometimes, so it's not... But how profound is it? We've been raised in the church, haven't we? All of us, pretty much all of us here, if not all of us, we've been raised in the church. How profound is that prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer? Simply says, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Boy, it just... just a simple prayer. It's almost as, now lay me down to sleep. But the point of the prayer is simply that you give to God, in few words here tonight, you give to God the burden of your heart. Acknowledge Him as Father. Acknowledge Him as hallowed, as holy. Acknowledge Him for who He is in His position. And acknowledge us, myself, in my position as being submission to Him. And then simply lay out my needs. You say, well, it's not quite that simple. Well, it's not? Well, let's take a look at it here in verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. You know what Jesus is doing here, don't you? Jesus is giving an example of the simplicity of prayer. Ask. He goes on to say that, doesn't he? Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth. For everyone that knocketh, to him it shall be opened. The simplicity of prayer. Oh God, that I might understand it better. That it's not in the profound words or the big words or of some sort of a rhythm or in the deep voice or in the screams or in the quakes or in the pounding of my fist, but it's simply, oh God, I need you. though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. Two things there. He is his friend, and because of his importunity. Is God our friend? Sure he is. And he delights in the prayers of his people. And when we continue to knock at the door, importunity, continue to go to him, continue to petition his throne, he delights in the prayers of his people. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, dads, we can feel this pretty passionately here if we try, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will we offer him a scorpion? No, we don't do that, do we? If ye then, being evil, or humanity, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? What a blessed thought that is. How much more? Not in equal proportion, but how much more does the Heavenly Father want to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You say, well, that's speaking about the infilling. Yeah, it is, but I also believe that it's speaking about the daily needs that we have and the need of the revival also. Because revival will only come through prayer and the visitation of the Holy Spirit. So I'm convinced this evening that God wants to give us revival because God wants to give us of His Holy Spirit. All we have to do is be importunate in prayer, continue to knock at heaven's door with a passion and a fervency within that might require us to pray a little extra or to give a little extra in sacrifice, in fasting, as it were, to see God come. Now, I want to thank God and thank people who have prayed, joined in on the weekly fast here the last several weeks on Wednesday. I want to thank God for those that have participated in praying extra on Saturday mornings, as Kimberly has challenged to pray on Saturday mornings. Sunday morning prayer meeting as well. Those that gather in for Sunday morning prayer meeting right here in the sanctuary. It's a wonderful time. There's some that gather Thursday afternoons for prayer. Thank God for them. Praise God for them. I know that there's others that are praying besides the visual points that I've expressed. It's been a long time since I've seen or experienced an all-night of prayer. I don't know that I'm capable of an all-night prayer. I don't know that I'm able. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I say that with sincerity. But there's two Friday nights between now and revival. I don't know. I just feel pressed to do it. That God will honor our seeking Him. 9, 10 o'clock the next two Friday nights, those that can and will. Not only Wednesday in prayer and fast, but also see if we're able and just do our best to pray on Friday nights. If it's all night, then fantastic. If you fall asleep, wake up and pray again. Pray some more. I don't know, but I do know that I want to see God move. Prayer is the key. I want to do the part that I have. I want to play the part that I have in seeing that key turned. I want to see God's face. Nobody's taking attendance. Nobody's marking down who's here and who's not. I believe it comes from the effort of the heart and the desires. If you can't make it, I know children have a tendency to say to moms and dads, you know, don't leave me at home alone. I understand that. That's not a problem. I mean, it's not a problem for you to stay home with the children. Let's just give an effort. 2 weeks before revival come, really, really put power in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a saint. And if you're obeying God and walking in the light, then maybe hard for you to take, but you're a saint. What a lofty position. Let's pray. Let's seek God. Let's stand together tonight.